Welcome to the Lady Up America podcast. I'm Diane Canada, your host. I am so glad you're here today, y'all. It is the first show of the new year. Happy 2024. Today is Monday, January 8th, and we are talking Iowa caucuses today. All right, we are 1 week away from the Iowa caucuses. And for a lot of you ladies who follow me, who are like I was about 5 years ago, who knew about this much about politics, I didn't even know what a primary was, much less a caucus. And so I thought maybe it would be helpful to just sort of give you my interpretation of what's going to be going down this next week. And some of you may know, I don't mean to insult your intelligence at all, but you know, I know a lot of the ladies who follow me really just don't, they just don't know what's going on this week. They keep hearing it talked about in the news, but they just don't really get it. And so there's no shame in that, y'all. I know a lot of us have stepped up into politics for the first time, or we're at least a lot more aware, our antennas up around politics for the first time in our lives. And so there's a lot to learn. There's a lot to take in. So I don't want you feeling bad because you don't know. All right. Just we're learning all this together. There are people that are way further ahead in the political realm than I am, and that could probably school me on a lot of things, but maybe I can come back and just share with you what I've learned, and maybe we can just come along together on this. So let's get a little bit of clarity around what the Iowa caucuses are. Okay, so there are two ways that we narrow down our Republican presidential candidates into one. So, you know, eventually in November, we're going to have one Republican candidate, we're going to have one Democrat candidate, and we're probably going to have an independent or two on the ballot as well. But the two main parties in our country for the foreseeable future are the Democrat and the Republican Party. I don't see that changing. A lot of people have tried to bring forward third party ideas. We had the Tea Party that was a big deal. We had the Libertarian movement, but I just don't see either of those two parties really relinquishing the power there. I wish we did have some other options, but this is just the way it is. So warts and all, the Republican Party is the conservative party. Now, the way that we get down to that one presidential nominee, they call it, because right until they actually win the election, they're still the nominee. We have to take these five or so that are still in the race for that one spot, and we have to primary them or caucus them. So the way I understand it, I'll give you my kind of my eighth grade elementary, version of it, is that most states in our country do what they call a primary, which is sort of very similar to Election Day in March, April. Some states do it in May. You know, everybody has a different date on the calendar. But for here in Tennessee, it's going to be March 5th. For a lot of the states, it's going to be March 5th. So what happens that day is you show up and you basically cast a ballot for the presidential nominee of your choice. So you just say, out of DeSantis and Nikki Haley and Vivek Ramaswamy and Chris Christie and Donald Trump. Did I say Ron DeSantis? Yeah. So out of those, you go and you cast a ballot for the one that you think should be that one Republican nominee. Now, the way that we do that is very different in a primary than it is in a caucus. So Iowa has a caucus. And the reason why Iowa is so important is because it's the very first primary process of the entire year. And I'm going to tell you what a caucus is in just a second, but I want to just make sure you guys understand this, that the very, very first stop on the campaign trail that really counts as we get into the primary election season is Iowa. And they actually have a law on their books that says that if Tennessee's not going to vote until March, like I was just saying, and other, you know, even if they move it from March 1st or from March 5th up to February or something, in Iowa, they have a law in the books that says whatever the earliest date is that any state chooses, Iowa is going to preempt that. They're going to actually get a chance to still be first. So so they get to back, they get to kind of play around with the dates if they need to make sure that they are the first stop. So what happens in Iowa is, even though it's a little state, I mean, it doesn't have a lot of delegates, you know, for the Republican Party, there's only 40 delegates there. And I'll explain that more here in just a second, but it has a big optical impact. So in other words, the way the country sees the candidates. So what happens there is people don't get to show up all day long, you know, on that day to vote and cast traditional ballots like they do in Tennessee. Instead, they have to show up at a specific time. It's like 7 o'clock in the evening. They have to be, they have to bring their voter ID, their driver's license. I think they can register to vote, I think up until the day before the caucuses, but on caucus night, they have to be registered voters with voter ID. They have like a list of regulations that they have to meet. And then what happens is similar to the primaries in other states. Every county has precincts, right? It's usually like a school or a gymnasium or a college auditorium or something like that. But they have specific places that you go to show up to cast your vote. Now, when you go to these places, you don't go to a ballot box like we do in the other primaries. You don't go and you know, check a box for your candidate. Instead, what you do is you show up and there are these what they call precinct leaders or party leaders that will kind of have a rally for the candidate that they are for in different areas of the room. And so what they're trying to do is have somebody that's very compelling, that's really kind of doing the bidding for their favorite candidate. They're trying to win other people to that candidate. And so it's kind of this ongoing debate. So people who are undecided, who are independent, can kind of visit the different, you know, areas of the room and kind of hear what the talking points are for that candidate. And then it's kind of the last chance for those candidates' team leaders to win those undecided voters or win those independent voters to them. So somebody may come in planning to cast a vote that night for Trump, let's say, and then they hear something going on over here in the Ron DeSantis circle in this side of the room that really appeals to them. And maybe it's a chance to, you know, turn that voter to Team DeSantis instead. So it's just a really interesting process. And then at a particular time, they don't cast a ballot, but they get little pieces of paper and they write down the name of the person that they want to win. And then they drop that in a box and those names are tallied right there before the evening's over. And by the end of that evening, we have kind of the winner of the Iowa caucuses announced. Now that's going to happen that way in the Republican Party this year. And I'm going to touch on this in just a sec, but the Democrats are not going to do it this way. Okay. So just hold that thought for a sec. But with those winners from the Iowa caucuses, let's say they have in all the different counties, I think there's 99 counties in Iowa. So all these different counties have a lot of different precincts in that county. So like if you live on the east end of the county, you go here. If you live on the west end, you go here. So they've got a lot of different caucus precincts. And so a lot of different little groups that are going to be turning in their votes that night. And then we get the winner. So I told you a minute ago that Iowa represents, they have 40 Republican delegates. And what that means is during the Republican National Convention, which is going to take place later this year, closer to the election, they're going to be doing their national convention in Milwaukee this year. What that means is that Iowa is going to send 40 people for the Republican National Convention, and those 40 people will cast votes representing the Iowan caucuses. And those votes then get tallied with other states that have, you know, some states that are bigger have more delegates. Some might have 100 delegates or some might have 50, whatever it might be. But all of those at the Republican National Convention then kind of work similar to the caucus does, right? They get to take their 40 votes and put it forward for their candidate. So let's say on January 15th, which is when the Iowa caucuses are going to take place, let's just say that out of the 40, Trump gets 20 and DeSantis gets 20. So we've got half and half, right? So then those 40 delegates will go to the Republican National Convention, and 20 of them then at that national level will turn in their votes for Trump. The other 20 will turn them in for DeSantis, and every state's doing this. So you can imagine as these delegates are throwing in their, their hat in the ring, their hat in the ring for their candidate, then those then get tallied. And that is plays a large part then in who becomes the nominee. That's how we narrow down those five into one. Okay. And then that nominee out of the Republican National Convention then goes to the general election. They'll go head to head or toe to toe, or however you want to say it, with the Democrat nominee. Okay, so I hope I explained that okay, but that's the way I understand it. If anybody's listening to this and I got something wrong, feel free to reach out and tell me and I'll make a correction, but that's the way I understand it. So these Iowa caucuses are so, so important because they're like the first step. They're the kickoff. It's like opening day of baseball season. this is a big, big deal. Now, all this week, all the candidates will be in Iowa trying to win as many votes as they can. Like they're going to all these libraries and cafes, restaurants, all these places people are gathering to offer, their stump speeches and answer questions and get to know these people, kind of woo them to their side. And a lot of our candidates have been there a lot longer than just this week. A lot of them got into town, before the holidays. So they kind of got a head start. I think Ron DeSantis made an effort to actually stop in every single county. And I think Vivek has gone to every county twice, and some of them more than twice. So they are working their little bums off in Iowa, trying so hard to garner support because they know that the whole country is going to be watching that particular kickoff. And whoever emerges as popular out of Iowa really kind of sets the stage for what happens next. So if they come out of that, I mean, we know Trump's got such a high lead that we know he's going to be one of the main front runners coming out of Iowa, but that race is on for that second place. So right now I think DeSantis and Nikki Haley are pretty close. Depending on the polling you look at, DeSantis seems to be a little bit ahead of Haley, but the thing with Iowa is because those votes, like I was telling you, because those votes can change even the night of the caucus. I mean, it's really hard to tell it's hard to take the temperature there because people are, it's the whole thing is very fluid until those votes actually come in later that night on the 15th. So it's just, I'm kind of becoming a little bit of a political junkie through all this. I mean, I never in a million years thought I would ever be interested in politics. But if you follow baseball teams or football teams, or you follow any of that, it's almost the same kind of excitement because you don't know what's going to happen next. It's like a play by play and everything's so open to outside circumstance. I mean, it is a blood sport. I will tell you that. I don't like that. The fact that that's the case, in our country, I wish that, people just weren't out to, knife each other. I wish we could have, but that's competition, right? That's any competition. And especially when we're talking about the position for the leader of the free world, I'm sure with that kind of power and that kind of money that there's just all kinds of back alley deals and things that go down that we probably don't want to know. But anyway, so that is the case. Now, I told you to hold that thought a second ago about the Democrats. So here's the deal with the Democrats. They're not going to do any of that in Iowa on January 15th. They've decided they're going to go and have some party meetings with some of the people that are gathering. Like, in other words, they're going to do some party business, some administrative kind of stuff. And they're going to talk about who the delegates might be. And they're going to do some stuff like that. But they're not going to do they're not going to report their voting for the night. In fact, anybody who votes for a Democrat nominee that night, it's just going to go into a mail. They're going to do a mail-in vote on that, and they're not going to reveal that until March. So that should tell us, that should give us a really, really big indicator how little faith they have in their front runner right now. So I think that gives us some hope. I really think that Joe Biden's going to end up coming out of the race with his polling numbers so low right now, with him just like tanking in popularity for the American people. Like, he has, I think, the lowest approval rating in the history, in our modern history anyway. I don't think the Democrats are going to gamble with him. So I think there's going to be some kind of, you know, some excuse they're going to come up with to bring him out of the race. I think they're going to put in Gavin Newsom or somebody else. It seems like they've kind of been grooming us for Gavin. God, I hope not. But I don't know anybody that could go in that seat that I would feel comfortable with. But at any rate, that's what's going to happen in Iowa this week. And it's going to be really exciting to watch. And I hope that better explains it. And we're just going to pray that, you know, we're just going to pray for our country. Let me just go into our parting prayer now, and let's just pray for our country. Father God, I thank you so much for all of these precious women listening today. Lord, I ask you to just bless them, bless their homes. Lord, settle our hearts down and help just remind us that no matter what happens in Iowa or what happens on the election day in 2024, that Lord, you're in control ultimately, and that we don't need to be anxious or fearful or anything about this, that Lord, whatever's happening, you're allowing it for a greater purpose. So Lord, just keep our hearts calm, keep us in perfect peace in you, Lord. And I ask for just your favor to fall on the head of this precious woman listening. Thank you for this new year ahead. Thank you for all the opportunities. And Lord, please protect America, our children, our grandchildren. Lord, we honor you. It's our honor to serve you. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, ladies, first one back. Hope you guys have had a wonderful holiday season. I hope you are refreshed and ready to go for this year. We got a lot of work to do. So, lady up. I'll see you tomorrow. Lady up, around this. Around.